Father, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, through the one that shed his holy blood that made a way for us to talk to you, to make requests to you, to praise and worship you like you so rightfully deserve. Lord, I pray this morning that you will open our hearts, show us something we've never seen before, inspire us, strengthen us, Lord. I know with a lot of things going on in the world, some of us, all of us, just need to be strengthened. We need to be encouraged. And I pray that you will give us that this day. We thank you. I thank you for every person in this call that will hear this message. I thank you for the miracles that keep getting reported back to me. And we praise you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Scripture this morning, Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. I want to start at verse 25. My sister, when she hears this message, will probably be running around her house because she absolutely loves the story of Peter walking on the water for various reasons. So I know that if nobody else gets anything out of it, she definitely will. So I thank God for her. And I think I love when people are excited about the word of the Lord. I like it when people give God the praise that he deserves when you read the word of the Lord. I want to encourage each one of us to not just read it for a character story or some kind of, you know, cartoon story, that this was real life, and think about the emotions that these people were feeling, and it'll actually bring it to a brand new light to each one of us. So I thank God for that. In Matthew chapter 14, we'll start at verse 25. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Verse 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "Is it a ghost?" And they cried out for fear. This morning, brothers and sisters, we're entering in. We're in the Christmas season where, I mean, I'm getting bombarded with all sorts of advertisements, all sorts of commercials. Everywhere you look, somebody's wanting you to buy the latest, greatest thing for the latest, greatest deal. And we are constantly flooded with a society that makes us think that we have to own this or have this or give this to be worth something or to have an edge on this sport or to be able to produce this or whatever it may be. But I want to encourage you this morning and give you permission this morning to do this Christmas a little different than you've done every Christmas in the past. I know it's easy for me to say this morning, hey, listen, you don't have to go in crazy debt or you don't have to do this and buy this to make this person feel like, you know, that you love them or that you want them around. Because I promise you one thing, if somebody leaves you, if somebody doesn't want to come around you because you don't buy them something or get them what they're wanting, then maybe that person's not meant to be around you. See, it's easy for me to talk about it this morning, but when we get in these family get-togethers and, you know, everybody's buying all these extravagant gifts, or sometimes it's just very, you know, simple plain gifts, but, you know, you got to buy 20 of them, so therefore it makes it expensive. And I know for me personally, I can't tell you most of the time what somebody got me a month ago. Nevertheless, 12 months ago, I have no idea. I think a lot of times the enemy tries to persuade us, tries to convince us that we need to buy expensive gifts and keep up with the Joneses, so to speak, to make us feel insecure. Because I promise you, the only thing on this earth that will make you and me secure, that will let us know who we truly are, is a relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, the newness of a car will always wear off. The newness of a gift, of a motorcycle, of a boat, of a new gun, or whatever it may be, it'll always wear off. And I don't think there's absolutely anything wrong with giving gifts and receiving gifts, but I think it's all about our intentions. I think it's all about, a lot of people are still paying on Christmas debt from last year, and they could have just had a good time with family, but they put themselves in a bad financial spot. And I don't believe that's from the Lord. The Lord's been dealing with me about, we tell our kids, hey, you're going to get three or four gifts, whatever, three gifts, I guess. And you know, I'll start off saying that, and by the time Christmas gets here, there's 20. And I think about why I do that, and sometimes I get over, you know, overexcited or whatever it may be. But this year I want to do it a little different because I know our kids love us for our relationship that we have with them. And brothers and sisters, this morning I want to encourage you and let you know that God loves you because of his son Jesus dying on the cross. There's absolutely nothing you and me can give God that will get us get God's approval for us. He gave us approval through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. So I want you to be encouraged in that. And I don't want you to be sad this Christmas season. I don't want you to be stressed out this Christmas season. I don't want you to be worried this Christmas season. Because in Matthew chapter 14, verse 25, the Bible says that as the disciples were in the sea, that Jesus was walking to them. And the Bible says that they began to talk among themselves. And they said, "Is it a ghost?" Isn't that a crazy question to think about? These men had spent time with Jesus. These men have watched miracles. They've got to know their Savior. They've got to know this man that proclaims to be the Son of God. And when they see him, when there's a storm going on and they're operating out of fear, they said, "Is it a ghost?" You see, in Matthew chapter 8, they had already seen Jesus come from the bottom of the boat and quiet the storm and make the storm calm down. And their response to that miracle was, "What manner of man is this, that even the sea, even the waves, even the storms obey him?" So they've seen this powerful miracle, but immediately when they begin to operate out of fear, they said, "Listen, is that a ghost?" How many of us this morning, this afternoon, whenever you hear this message, can testify when we're operating in fear that it makes us lose sight of Jesus? When we're operating in unbelief or we're scared of a situation, how many of us can say that we make poor choices? I absolutely can. When I feel insecure, I've bought things that I thought would make me feel secure. When I felt alone, I went to women and tried to get comfort, and at the very end, felt absolutely hopeless. I know many of us have stories that we've tried to fill that void on the inside of us, and a lot of us try to fake it until we make it, but I want to challenge each one of us this morning is to be real with ourselves. If you're scared, be scared, but be scared with God. You see, I'm not one of those people that believe that if we're fearful or we're worried or whatever, we need to completely ignore that. I don't think we should dwell there, but I think we should be honest with ourselves and say, "Lord, I'm scared. I need your help." You see, I would rather be scared and go through a storm with God than be scared trying to convince myself that I'm not scared. You see, I want to deal with the heart of the issue. I want to deal with reality, because when I can deal with the issues of my own heart, then others around me can be blessed. And my relationship with God can be blessed. My security with my relationship with Jesus can be blessed. But until I acknowledge what I'm feeling, then I'm simply being fake. I believe that when the disciples were operating out of fear, that is exactly what made them think, "Is this a ghost?" You see, they already had the understanding that Jesus had the power to calm that storm. They had already seen him do it. They've already seen him do countless miracles. They had already witnessed this man talking to the storm, talking to the waves and saying, "Peace be still." And it made them want to get to know him more. It made him want to get to know him in a greater depth. It made them want to get closer to him. But the very next time a storm comes their way and their life hangs in the balance, the very first thing they go to is fear. And I don't believe God condemned them for that. You see, you might have thought that they would have went to their confidence in their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I hate to disappoint some of you, but I'm not God's man of power for the hour. There it went. Sometimes I'm scared. Sometimes I'm nervous. Sometimes I feel insecure. Sometimes these emotions come my way. And when they come my way, if I dwell in them, then that's when depression can come. That's when I have big problems. But when I take these emotions and I take them to God and say, God, this is what I'm dealing with, that's when the Spirit of Comfort, the Holy Spirit, He is a God that will come to us in the middle of the night, in the middle of the morning, in the middle of the afternoon. And I want you to know this morning that He desires to be with you while you're scared. He desires to be with you when you can't figure out how you're going to pay the bills. There's many times that me and Alex have sat down or walked and talked about how are we going to make the finances work? How's this going to happen? And Alex, I don't believe God's going to do this. And all these doubts. And every time I've brought these doubts to God, He's been the God of reassurance. He's comforted me in my iniquity. He's comforted me in the middle of my storm. And these men that have seen the miracles look at Him, and in their hearts they think, listen, is it a ghost? Don't let your doubt condemn you. Don't let your worry condemn you. Don't let the devil treat you in a bad way or make you wrestle with yourself because you may not believe like you once did, or you don't believe like you think you should. When the devil brings adversity, when the devil brings the fiery darts, the Bible says that we should hold up our shield of faith, that we should bring the Word of God, that God gives us these weapons. And I believe one of the greatest weapons you and me possess is being real. It's being honest. It's taking that fear and meeting it with love. I believe love conquers fear. I believe love conquers worry and doubt and insecurity because the Bible says that love is the greatest of all. So you have these men, they're talking and they say, listen, we think this might be a ghost. And the Bible says, and they cried out for fear. Verse 27 says, but immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. Notice Jesus's response immediately, the Bible says, when they said they cried out with fear. God met their fear with love. He met their fear with the assurance that it was Him in the flesh. He didn't condemn them for their honesty. He didn't condemn them for their doubt. He didn't condemn them for being worried. He didn't condemn them for looking at their circumstance more than they looked at Him. Then the Bible says in verse 28, and Peter answered and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Verse 30, but when he saw that the wind was boisterous, your version may say contrary or against him, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out saying, Lord, save me. Verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Verse 33, then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Before we condemn Peter, and I don't want to stay here this morning, I want to get to the latter part of what I just read, but before we condemn Peter for sinking, how many of us have walked on water lately? I would rather take one step on the water and have Jesus pick me up than I would rather sit back and condemn Peter for losing his faith. But once again, when Peter was operating out of fear, that's what brought about the distance between him and the Lord. That's what brought about him sinking. That's what brought about confusion. When he looked at everything going on around him, instead of looking at Jesus, that's what brought in the doubt. And I promise you, you are flooded with things brought before your eyes every day, whether it be on your phone, your tablet, your iPad, the radio, whatever it may be. You are absolutely surrounded by negative comments, by negative scenes, by people of doubt, by people of worry. How many of us can testify today that we've already heard somebody say, oh no, it's almost Christmas, I've got to do this, that, and the third? How many of us can testify that we've already thought, myself included, oh no, I've got to get this done, pay this, buy gifts, make sure this is done, make sure this is done. And I began to try to make the dots connect instead of sitting back and saying, 'tis the season to be jolly because I serve an alive Savior, Jesus Christ. What if I looked at this season and said, listen, Jesus, I'm celebrating your birth. Happy birthday, Lord. Happy birthday. Thank you, God, for sending your son, Jesus. How does that change my mindset? How does that change your mindset instead of thinking, I've got to buy this and save this and take this bonus money and do this with it? What if we said, God, I thank you for blessing me with a house. I thank you this morning that it's 23 degrees outside and every one of us has clothes on our back, food in our belly, food for lunch. We have these things and it's simple thoughts, but I want to challenge you to know that these thoughts is what are what bring about a revelation, they're what bring about victory, they're what bring about a closer relationship with our Lord and Savior. Brothers and sisters, in closing this morning, these men, Peter walk on the water. The Bible says that he was afraid and he begins to sink. But what I really, really want to hit on this morning is in Matthew chapter 8, they saw this man quiet the storm. They saw this man speak a word of peace to the storm, to the waves, to everything going on, to the wind. And they looked at each other and they said, what manner of man is this? But in a few chapters over, Jesus ultimately performs the same miracle and he tells that storm to be quiet. He tells that storm to calm down. He takes Peter and walks with him and they both get into the boat. And the response of the people in the boat, they said, truly, this is the Son of God. The first response, they said, listen, who are you that these things are happening? And after they saw it a second time, they said, listen, you are the Son of God. You have the same character as God. You have the same nature as God. But I want to encourage you, if these people would not have saw the struggle of Peter, if they wouldn't have saw Peter walk on the water and sink and then get into the boat with Jesus, would they have ever acknowledged him as God? Don't let your storm that you're going through, don't let your trials and your temptations and these things beat you down. Don't let them condemn you because other people around you are watching you go through that storm. And brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you to know that you can reach out and take the hand of Jesus. Take the hand of the Son of God. Take the hand of the line of Judah. Take the hand of Jehovah Jireh himself, and he will provide every single need that you and me have. He will never let us down. He'll never forsake us. He'll never turn his back on us. He doesn't need us to buy something for him to make him love us. He already loved us. The Bible says that he died for us, that he was crucified before the foundation of the world. So he knew every sin that you and me would commit. He knew our downfalls. He knew that we would be fearful and we would worry and we would be scared and we would look at this season as something that we need to buy gifts for people instead of acknowledging him for being born. And he was okay. And he still said, listen, God, I'll go down and die for those people. He said, Father, send me. The Bible says he was the only one that could come. And this morning, brothers and sisters, it's good news. It's good news that they looked to him and said, listen, truly you are the Son of God. They put him in his place. And this morning, I believe that the miracle, when he told the storm to calm down, I believe that was powerful and I wish I could have been there. But I've seen him quiet the storm. I have literally witnessed God change the weather for our wedding just so we could have a beautiful day. I've seen God do things that still blow my mind and he still shows me amazing, wonderful things. But one of the most powerful things I've ever seen in my life is when God will take a sinner and save them and wash them in his blood and he changes their heart. You see, brothers and sisters, this morning, I think it was amazing that Jesus spoke to that storm. But I believe one of the main factors that caused the people to call him the Son of God is when he picked up Peter out of that water. I believe when they saw Jesus rescue this man that had fear in his heart. I believe when they saw Jesus rescue this man that took his eyes off of him and looked at the storm instead of Jesus, they thought to themselves, I still have hope. I'm a man like that. I fell like Peter's fallen, but they saw him pick Peter up and not condemn him, but simply ask him a question. Why did you lose faith? It wasn't in a condemning way. It wasn't in a way that said, Peter, you're nothing or you're less than. He was telling Peter, listen, you should have never lost sight of me, because I'll never leave you. It's the same way he's telling us this morning. It's the same way you may tell your kids, why did you do it that way when I was there to help you? I tell our kids all the time, you didn't have to struggle getting that off the top shelf or picking this up because it was too heavy for you. All you had to do was ask the Father for help. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you this morning. I want you to know, and I can almost hear him saying to mine in your storms, peace be still. And I thank God for that. But I want to testify this morning that he's the one that picked me up like he picked Peter up. I've seen him pick my wife up like he picked Peter up. I know Brother Kevin can testify that he picked him up like he picked Peter up. The beauty of Jesus is in the rescue. It's in him dying for a people that didn't deserve it. It is literally the good news of Jesus Christ. It's got to be so good that it's almost unbelievable. You mean to tell me, Brother Allen, that this morning that I'm a sinner and I don't deserve salvation? Absolutely. You mean to tell me that this perfect and holy and righteous and amazing and awesome God has the power to do whatever he wants to and he chose me? Absolutely. I'm telling you this morning that Jesus said, nobody can come to me unless the Father first calls. You have good news. You got a call from God. I don't know if there's anything greater. You have a call from the one that told the firmament to stand in place. You have a call from the one that told the sun and the moon to obey him. You have a call from the one that separated the land from the waters. You have a call from the one that literally picked Peter up out of that water. Brothers and sisters, he is exactly who he says he is. And I want to give us permission this morning to not to be fearful about the Christmas season. To not dread it, to not be worried about it, to not look at it in any kind of a view that says, oh, I got to buy this and do this. If you don't buy somebody something and they leave, then deuces. See ya. But I promise you, I believe there's people around you that want to support you and want to love you and love you in spite of. Let's pray. Father, I honor you. I thank you, Lord God, for the rescue. Oh God, I thank you every day for my rescue. I thank you that just like you picked Peter up, Lord, you pick me up. You pick all of us up. I thank you that you're not a respecter of man. What you'll do for one, you'll do for another. I thank you this morning, maybe more than anything else, God, is that we can thank you for that rescue. God, I pray for a revelation for each one of us in this call that will hear this message. Maybe it's months down the road or even years, God. I pray that you will give us a picture of the rescue, that when, God, we were hopeless, we were going to hell, we didn't deserve anything, that you sent your son to redeem each one of us, that you would have did it for one of us, yet you did it for all. God, you are that good. And I thank you this morning for you quieting every storm. I thank you for every miracle. I thank you that the power that you've placed on the inside of us is the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. Yes, I do thank you for those miracles. Yes, I do thank you for every time you stood and said, peace be still. But this morning, God, I pray that you will give us an understanding like these men have, that we could say, truly, you are the Son of God. Because we've seen the rescue. God, I pray for my brothers and sisters. If there's ailments in their bodies, if they need financial blessings, physical, whatever it may be, you are the great provider. And God, I have confidence in the fact that you'll take care of them. You'll take care of all of us. You'll help us. You'll forgive us. And God, you're not done with us yet. I thank you that our best days are ahead of us. I thank you that we don't have to conform to the way the world does things. I thank you, Lord God, that you love us. And by faith, we pray these things. By faith, we believe these things. And we just give you all the glory. Because every time I pray that we hear 'tis the season, it will bring us back to this moment, this day, that we can say 'tis the season to acknowledge you. 'Tis the season to believe you. 'Tis the season to see your rescue. 'Tis the season to remember the virgin birth. 'Tis the season to acknowledge you as truly the Son of God. We love you and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.